será el día. Mira, hey. Bless Ashkenazi. He gave a day of mentions. He's pale shandy agrab. Bless Ashkenazi. So, in the last simon of his mishpat, so the Beir Agrila mentions the Blazer Ashkenazi's pshat and Shvecha Moskal Agoy. So it's worthwhile to look into the Beir Agrila and the last simon of his mishpat, because there he mentions what the Blazer Ashkenazi says and Shvecha Moskal. So he has a wonderful Peirush and Agoy. So he explains. שירמורי היצי הקדוש ברוך הוא סבסינו ממצרים הרי אונו ובנינו ובני בנינו היינו משיבות מלפער למצרים. Does it make sense? It really is a question. Now imagine if the Ben Shalom had not delivered the Israelites that time if from Mitzrayim, then we would be משיבות לפער למצרים. Is it true? Suppose the Ben Shalom would not deliver the ancient Israelites from Egypt, we would be slaves of Pharaoh. Where is the Pharaoh? I mean, there is the other rulers in Egypt, but nothing to do with Pharaoh. Might be just as wicked as Pharaoh, but no connection between the present ruler of Egypt and Pharaoh. So how can Balaam say such a thing? I mean, the world has gone a metamorphosis so many times since the days of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Where's their payoff? Where's their payoff? And suppose there is a connection between the present ruler of Egypt and payoff. So we who live in America, in the United States, in Canada, in Britain, in France, so we would be slaves of payoff. So why did Allah go to say such a thing? Which is inconceivable. Molle hits a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Abisim Mitzrayim, Hari Onu, Boneinu, Bnei Boneinu, that means that if God is, would be the slaves of him. Does it make sense? So the Blazer Ashkenazi says, the Balaam Buddha doesn't say, Molle hits a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Abisim Mitzrayim, Hari Onu, Boneinu, Bnei Boneinu, Hoyinu, Abodim, Nifarim, that is not so. If the Ben Shalom had not delivered the Israelites, the ancient Israelites, out of Egypt, so we would be slaves of Pharaoh. Where's that Pharaoh? There's no Pharaoh. The Pharaoh dynasty was abolished, I mean, more than 3,000 years ago. Actually, it was abolished at the time of Tiras Yamsa. But there are still remnants of it. But it's 3,000 years since the Pharaoh dynasty was abolished in Egypt. But the Baragoda says, Mori Hitzak, we focus on Sin Mitzrayim, Arionu, Boneinu, Vnei Boneinu, Hoyinu, Mishubodim, the Pharaoh Mitzrayim. Mishubet, we would all feel indebted to Pharaoh, because as Rabbi Vadis Fona explains, Chazik is liparid, Yerbaditi is libid. So the question is raised by the Rambam, my old Rishayim, that this seems to be inconsistent with the concept of Pirochovshiv's freedom of will. So the Rambam gives certain terutzim, and it's very obscure what the Rambam means. But Rabbi Vadis Fona gives a remarkable teret, and perhaps the Rambam means the same thing, except that Rabbi Nevadi's phone spells it out in such a remarkable way. He says, it's not that the Rebbeinu Shalom deprived Pharaoh of his freedom of choice. The Rebbeinu Shalom does never deprive a person, no matter how wicked he is, he will not deprive a person of his freedom. So Pharaoh, after the last moment, was free to decide between right and wrong. And he did decide between right and wrong with the Makas Kreles. So he did decide to let the Israelites go out. But before the Makas Kreles, he was stubborn. He showed his obduracy, his obstinacy in face of all the Makas. Now, Suppose that Rabbeinu Shalom had not hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and Pharaoh would have acted naturally. And then he sees there is in Rakhel one plague overtaking Egypt. Damned, Fadea, Chinim, Orei, Deber. And he doesn't let the Israelites go out. What does it mean? Because he's Irosha. All right, Irosha. And suppose you make, at the point of gun, you make a hold up over Irosha. Assad is certainly Irosha. But if somebody, if a terrorist, at the point of gun, would make a hold up on him, would make many concessions. Of course, right now, he refuses to make concessions, Assad. So Carter comes and pleads with him. But he's obstinate, because Carter certainly does not make demands at the point of the gun. It is a Hashem. So he's obstinate. But suppose somebody with the gun would make certain demands upon Assad, he would immediately yield. Would that mean that Assad became a tzaddik? No. Assad would be the same Hashem. But there is such a thing as self-preservation. There's the strongest instinct in all Malachi, a human being included. So here Pharaoh saw that Egypt and the Egyptian people are being destroyed. And there is one way to avoid the destruction of the Egyptian people. So he has to become a Malchuve in order to let the Israelites go out of Egypt. If he acts naturally, just if he'll be motivated by selfish goals, he would immediately release the Israelites. But he didn't. So it's not only that he acted in a wicked way, in an unethical way. He acted in an unnatural way. When a person makes a hold up upon another person, tells him, "You're a millionaire. I want $5 million. It happens. Somebody at the point of the gun makes a hold up on a clerk in a bank for $1 million, and he does it. So he wants to do it. He wants to survive. He doesn't want to be shot. So at the point of the gun, I mean, in face of all these markers, Pharaoh refused to let the Israelites go. So that was because Pharaoh was a Hoshe, such a Hoshe. Even if he was such a Hoshe, he would have let the Israelites go in order to save his life, in order to save Egypt. So that the Rabbeinu Shalom hardened his heart so much that he shouldn't care about his own destruction. He shouldn't care about the destruction of the Egyptian people. But he still was free to choose and let the Israelites go from the point of view of ethical concepts. But he didn't want to be motivated by ethical concepts. But if Pharaoh had wanted to be motivated by that which is right, then the Rabbeinu Shalom would not have prevented him from doing so. That's what it means. He hardened the heart of Pharaoh. He shouldn't even consider the hardships and the suffering of the Egyptian people and the sacrifices of the Egyptian people, and he only was free to consider it from the point of view of right and wrong. And from the point of view of right and wrong, so Pharaoh, the same thing is true of Assad. So they didn't choose that which is right from that which is wrong. But suppose that the Rabbeinu Shalom had hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and then with the first market done, and he wouldn't have even waited for the first market to take place, because Pharaoh knew very well that Moshe and Aaron were on the DMS. You know, they showed all the mason, they demonstrated all the mason before the first market. So the moment Moshe and Aaron told Pharaoh that if he doesn't let the Israelites leave Egypt, so then there will be a plague of dam overtaking all of Egypt and the whole Egyptian people, he will get released then. Not because of tzidkes, but because of selfishness. But should have been Yishalom Tabin, and he hardened his heart. He should not let himself be swayed by selfish consideration. But he couldn't. Being swayed by ethical consideration, he had no moral sensitivity. But the role of Elohim was satisfying if the Rebbein Shalom had not intervened and had not harmed the heart of Pharaoh, and then Pharaoh would have released the Israelites the first moment out of selfishness, out of sheer selfishness. What would all the Jews say? All the Jews, all the liberal Jews, including modern Orthodox rabbis, what would you say? Pharaoh? Biggest leader is actually very poor. They would shower all the superlatives upon Pharaoh, more superlatives than the black people ever showered upon Lincoln, and that the black people will ever shower upon Lincoln. All the modern rabbis would shower all the superlatives of Pharaoh, such a liberal, granted freedom to the Israelites. But he granted freedom to the Israelites. Why? Because he wanted to save himself, but that they wouldn't even think. So this is what the Balagor means, Rabbez Ashkenazi says. V'umoli heitzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sarsim Mitzrayim Harayonu Boneinu Bnei Boneinu Yenu Mishibodim Mifarad Mitzrayim. And nothing would help. All the droshes by Rabbez Ashkenazi and by all the Gdil Torah would not have overcome the force of the argument of the modern people, of the liberals, Pharaoh is such a liberal and such a humanitarian. I mean, didn't you say at the time of the Second World War that Churchill and Franklin and Eleanor Roosevelt are the real Mashiach? I heard it not only from Reform Jews, I heard it from other Jews. So the Molly hates Akkadosh Baruch Hu, Sarsim Mitzrayim, Harayonu Boneinu, Ubnei Boneinu, Harayonu Boneinu, Ubnei Boneinu, Atzeiv Kol Aderis, Koyim Mishubotu Nifarad Mitzrayim, Ubnei Nifarad Mitzrayim. And you see, I mean, some Reform rabbis, they are resorting to intimidation and threats of withholding aid, financial aid to Israel, if the Reform Judah, Reform rabbinate and conservative rabbinate will not be recognized as the same rabbinical authority as the Rabbonim Roshim. And still, we find in face of all these tactics of the threat and intimidation and of the pressure that is exerted upon the Israeli government, so there are still many modern rabbis who say, oh, for the sake of unity, we have to grant this, we have to grant that, we have to have a common business, we have to do everything, sacrifice everything. Why? Because they are in favor of the physical redemption of the Jewish people. So that's what Bagoda says. Avraham Yevidovi, Lofan, was very much in favor of physical redemption. Habonis Neisai, Habonim Bonai, but he was against spiritual redemption. That's why Aram Yehudovi say, O magma bitish loven Aram elasis liyakob avinu shepara ligozer ala schorim. So it doesn't mean schorim and Lavan schorim and the kevis. That isn't so. Lavan wanted to destroy schorim and the kevis of the Jewish people, assuming that he conspired to kill Yaakov. Yaakov was only one Jew, and Pari wanted to kill thousands of Jews. How can you say a thing like that? But it means Sheparoli goes out last for him. It means he wanted to destroy them physically. And physically, so he would not have destroyed them completely, because even Pharaoh himself was ready to let the women among the Israelites survive. but Lavan Bikish Lakrasake, he wanted to undermine the whole spiritual foundation of the Knesset Yisrael. Of the Knesset Yisrael. And even at the end, look what Lavan said. Oh, I have to finish it right. Just one more word. A young woman by Yemel Yaakov. Habon is Neisai. Vabonim Bonai. Vatin Taini Vahalash Atareli. Who will be Neisai Mesel of Leila Hayem will be as Yolodo. Viato Lihon Yichis of Lis and Yoto. Voyole Baini Vinecho. So, wonderful person of them. Look what he's saying. Let's be one nation. Vayikach Yaakov of them, Vayremel. ויך יעקב ויאמר מציבו, ויימא יעקב יחזיק את העוונים, ויקח העוונים ויעשו גול, וייחו שמו הגול, ויקח ללובין גס הדוס יעקב לגלי, then he said, אם תענז נסי, אם תיקחנו שמו בנסי, איני שמונו ראי אלקים, אי בני ונחל. Very nice words, well spoken. I mean, he wanted to protect the welfare of the women. Something wrong, something to be criticized. He was interested in the welfare of the women. It's wonderful, a wonderful goal. So, Vahim alone, Yaakov, he may a gala ze vine a mativa shiorisi bini vinecho, eda gala ze, eda mativo, imoni le ever relaxes a gala ze, the maato li sada relays a gala ze, a mativa ze is the law. Well spoken. What's wrong with that? Wonderful. What else can you expect? Elkei Avram, but see what is coming. Elkei Avram, v'alhei nocher, yishmitu v'neinu. Elkei Avien, v'yishova Yaakov v'fachadov Yitzchak. You know what he introduced? Lavan was the first one to introduce the concept of ecumenism. Ecumenism, such a wonderful goal, ecumenism. All the modern rabbis speak about ecumenism. Lavan was the initiator of that concept. Not a reform rabbi, not a conservative rabbi. Lavan, he initiated the concept. Elkei Avram, velhei nocher. In multiple society, with many religions, united in the spirit of ecumenism. Harold Washington also only yesterday spoke about the spirit of ecumenism. Jews and blacks all together have to combine and vote for him in this beautiful So, Elkei Avram, Velhei Nocher, Ecumenism, Yishmitu B'neinu, Elkei Avim, how did Yaakov act? Yaakov acted in a dignified way, like he cannot. No. You want peace? Fine. But I will only swear in the name of the God of Israel. Not Elkei Avram, Elkei Nocher. I don't believe in ecumenism. You believe in ecumenism? All right. Who interferes with you? But you worship your God the way you want. But don't tell me how to worship the Rebbein Shalom. You want to be Nishba in the name of Elkei Avram, Elkei Nocher. Fine. As the Nevi'im say, "Kechol ha'am," so b'shem Elohim, v'anachnu b'shem Adishem. Who interferes? Who wants to interfere with the freedom of worship of the goyim? But we Jews, we cannot succumb to your communism. Vayishova Yaakov v'pachadov Yitzchok. But Lavan tried to oppose this idea of your communism, of Elkei Avram v'Elkei Nocher upon Yaakov. That's why Arami was Evi Dovi. And these rabbis who are trying to impose upon the Knesset Yisrael the spirit of ecumenism, when Harold Washington talks about ecumenism, no danger in it. It doesn't mean anything. He doesn't try to impose anything upon anybody. All he wants is that people should vote for him. That's all. He's not interested in anything else. But when they talk about ecumenism, they are trying to destroy the Knesset Yisrael, on his spiritual level, that's why the Rambam says, in discussing the significance and the importance of the discussion of the Chayrus HaGuf, the Hu Shigitrish Marami Bidovin, one shouldn't think and let himself be deceived by this blunder that if somebody is interested in physical redemption, then we can sacrifice everything for the sake of Klal Yisrael unity, sacrifice the Jewish faith. That's Arami Evidovi, pure and simple, and nothing else.
Yana Pesach, that's new song.
Rambam emphasizes the importance of the psukim of Arami Devidovi and the drash. I mean, it's a little unusual. Why all of a sudden Yidrish? Because the Rambam tried to explain something. Actually, here the Balagode is assuming that's the Mechilte, that Arami is descriptive of Lovon. The judicial mikro, as the Ben Ezra points out, Arami does not have reference to Lavan. Arami has reference to Yaakov, as I mentioned yesterday. To Yaakov, the Rashbam says it has reference to Avraham, all right. But the other Mephoshim, the Ben Ezra, the Sforne, they all say that the judicial mikro, Arami has reference to Yaakov. Because, in the riot that the judicial mikro, as a matter of fact, the Rashbam's pshat is difficult. Rashbam says that the traditional mikro Arami has reference to Avraham. But then it says, Vayered Mitzrayim. All right, Avraham also went to Mitzrayim. But Avraham went to Mitzrayim for a short time, then returned. But if it has reference to Yaakov Avinu, we understand. Arami Lidodi, Vayered Mitzrayim. But if it has reference to Avraham Avinu, what's Vayered Mitzrayim? So in other words, so the subject of Arami is Avraham, and the subject of Ayered is Yaakov. It's strange in the tradition. So all the Mephoshim, except for the Rashbam, all the Mephoshim say that the traditional Mikro, Arami has referenced the Yaakov, and the Ben Ezra, now. Yoniso v'amarto v'nei Hashem olekecho Arami evidovi v'yered Mitzrayimo v'yoga shom v'msei miot v'hi shom v'gei godei lotzum v'rov. So Arami, so the Ben Ezra says evidovi milas eved me'apolim shenim yeitzi. So in other words, it's an intransitive verb. V'yil hoya Arami al-lovon hoya akosu v'ina ma'vi or if it has reference to Lavan, then the passage should say Arami Mi'abid Ovid. So it should be a transitive verb, Mi'abid Ovid. So, but Eved means a wandering, my wandering father, my lonely father, my lonely ancestor, Yaakov Avinu. It's an intransitive verb. But if it had reference, wenn's du Laban ist und zeh, Arami mi Abidovi. Laban ist nicht Abi, Laban. Even though he was the father of Rochel and Leah, but still we don't refer to Laban as our father. So he should say, Arami mi Abidovi. Mi Abidovi. So, Omabit, Veid matam leima Laban bikesh l'Abidovi, vayered Mitzrayimu. The Laban we see the Gloredes on Mitzray, the Akorid, Sharami hu Yaakov, to Omar Akosuf, Kasha hoyo obi be'arom, hoyo ebe, my wandering, lonely ancestor, Yaakov. Vatam, ani, Biloy mommy, the chink nu sheikhol eibet, but ham only biloy mommy. Why is he wondering? In other words, my poor, unfortunate ancestor. He was poor, he had no money, Yaakov Avinu. So that's eibet. Joseph with the chink nu sheikhol eibet. What does it mean, eibet? It means somebody who's unfortunate. So he's called eibet. Weid yishte v'yishkach, listen, v'hinu arame eibet hoyovi. Now, and the Sforno also said the same thing. Arame eibet ovi, hini ovi sho Yaakov, hoyozman ma arame eibet. Shal hoyo loy beis meishav, he didn't even have a home, he was a lonely person. Uvichein lo hoyo muchan la'amid goy, ro lo reshes ochs. So all the mefosh say, say that Arami has reference, the traditional Mikro has reference to Yaakov, not to Laban. But the Bargode says that it has reference to Laban. Who is that? Unkeles. Unkeles says, ויסוסי ויסיינה הקודם עד השם הלקוח לא בנר המועה בואי לאיבדו יסבו. So Unkeles, who always translates according to the traditional Mikro, at all Chazal say Mikro Yitzim Vipshute, even though they are droshes that are not the same as the traditional Mikro, but so whenever so Rashi, you find in Rashi many times the Rabbi saying Doshu Mashe Doshu Abo Pshuti Shom Mikro Yimikach. So Chassid Shalom, Rashi doesn't mean to reject the Drash Chazal, but the Drash is one meaning and the Pshuti Shom Mikro is another meaning. So Unkeles Derech Klal translates in accordance with the Pshuti Shom Mikro. And that's the way it should be translated. Now, for example, Lalochet. There are many parashas of the Torah that can be recited b'cholosh. Kriyashma, for example, is a machlekes between Rebbe and the Chacham. And we pask in like the Chacham. We pask in like the Chacham that Shma b'cholosh nishatem mishmeya. Not like Rebbe who says b'aviyoson that it has to be recited after b'losh nakim. Now, so you can be kind the mitzvah of Trishme by reciting Trishme in English. Now, but suppose there is a certain term in Trishme that the Pshutishal Mikro is one thing. According to the Drash, it means something else. For example, Vishinantam Livonecho in Trishme. What's the Pshutishal Mikro? Shantam Livonecho. Thou shalt teach to thy sons. That's the Pshutishal Mikro. What the Drash is, if somebody reads, recites Krishna in English, how will he read it? He'll say in English, thou shalt teach thy sons, or he'll say, thou shalt rehearse. I think that if somebody will say Kriya Shema in English, and he'll, instead of translating it into thou shalt teach thy sons, he'll say, thou shalt rehearse in thy mouth, he will not be in the kind of mitzvah of Krishna. But that's the drash, Vishinam Tom, שידי בוטר מחדם פירה באמצע איס, תס בדרש, ואתה פשוט יש על מיקרו בשלמן פרמיס, Thou shalt teach thy sons. And when something is to be recited in another language, so it has to be translated in the other language according to the Pshutish of Mikro, not according to the Drash. And Unkeles is such a matpid, always to translate into Aramaic according to the Pshutish of Mikro, not according to the Drash. You find it many times. So how is it all of a sudden here? The Pshutish of Mikro goes without saying that Arami is having reference to Lavan, that's the meaning of Pidrash. But that's not the meaning of Pshutish of Mikro. It's not the meaning of Pshutish of Mikro. How is it that Nicholas, just this Pasuk, it's an exception, I don't know of any other Pasuk, where Nicholas emphasizes the Drash over and above the Pshutish of Mikro? I don't know. There might be many, but I don't know. So how come? It's not Al Pshutish of Mikro. Al Pshutish of Mikro, so as the Ibn Ezra says, so Al Pidduk, it should be Arami Me'adidam. Al Pidrash, so there are no problem of Pidduk in so far as the Drash meaning is concerned. The problem of Pidduk apply only to the Pshutish of Mikro meaning, not to the Drash meaning. So how is it that Unkeles made an exception here and he translated Dafke in the exegetical sense Arami as being descriptive of Lavan, not as being descriptive of Yaakov? Why? And this is exactly the reason, I think, as to why the Rambam calls it the Yidresh. He says Vihu sheyidresh marama, we all of a sudden sheyidresh marami vidavi. Why Yidresh? The answer is no, because the Rambam emphasizes that in the Avodah, in order to mekayim the mitzvah of Sipo Yitzias Mitzrayim, we have to emphasize the exegetical meaning, the drash meaning, over and above the literal meaning. Why? Because that's the reason as why the Rambam, as I said yesterday, Vichayim Mastriel Umidiya Sh'Avodim Honinu Lifared Mitzrayim Vicholoro Sheb Molonu ומסיים בניסים ובנפלויס שנעשה לנו ובחירוסנו והוא שיתרש מהרמי ידידובי עד שיתמק לפרש. So he emphasizes the significance of the drash of הרמי ידידובי, not the traditional mikro of הרמי ידידובי, but the drash of הרמי ידידובי in conjunction with the aspect of the significance of physical redemption, not in conjunction with the aspect of spiritual redemption. But the Avodim Yiyinu and Vayitzein Alishem Mitzrayim, that aspect. Why? Because now we have Machleik, as I said yesterday, we have Machleik between Rav and Shmuel. So Rav says Masri Mitzchel Yad Yizorah, and Shmuel says Avodim. And most Rishayim say that it's not a Machleik as whether he has to say one or the other. He has to say both, according to everybody. But the question is, what is first? Or, as some Rishayim, as the Rambam explains, there is no machlekes. I mean, semaro machode, omaro machode, volitlige. In other words, he has to say both, and in the discussion of each, he has to first start mentioning the shibud and then the gulen. He cannot start immediately discussing the gula. He has to mention what preceded the gula. So, in other words, and according to some Rishayim, there is a machlekes between Rav and Shmuel. Both agree that he has to mention both, but the question is, what should he discuss first? So Rav says he has to discuss first because, as the Torah says, the goal of Yitzias Mitzrayim was Matan Torah, and the Rambam in Yerem Yivuchim says, even though, I mean, superficially at first blush it seems strange, he says the reason is why the Torah requires us to count Tzvirei to combine Yitzias Mitzrayim with Matan Torah. Even though the Torah says, I mean, that we have to count the Sphere not after the Yitzias Mitzrayim, but after the Akobes HaEmer. So apparently, obviously, there is a connection, there is a certain correspondence between Yitzias Mitzrayim and Akobes HaEmer. But this is how, and there is a Medrash. The Medrash says that the Rebbeinu Shlom told Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu asked, when will the Jews be ready for Kabbalah HaTorah? So Bitzachah, so Mitzrayim, Tavnus, Lekim, Alor, when will that be? The Tavnus. So the Rebbeinu Shlom said, they'll start counting 49 days, and then there'll be Kabbalah HaTorah. So what the Rambam says in the Buchen is really mentioned in the Medrash. So Menele Rab says, since the whole purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim was because of Kabbalah HaTorah, so Menele, that has to be discussed first. And Shmuel says, too, the purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim is a spiritual redemption. But there couldn't be spiritual redemption without a modicum of physical redemption. Couldn't. It's impossible. So that's why he has to mention the aspect of physical redemption first. And that's the reason as to why we ask that first we mention Avodim Ayinu and then Mitchilo Yivde Abiseinu. Not that physical redemption is more important. No, spiritual redemption is more important. Physical redemption without spiritual redemption is worthless. But you couldn't have a spiritual redemption without a preceding physical redemption. But then, at the same time, there is a danger that Jews will become deceived or tempted or captivated by the alluring, attractive idea that physical redemption is the summa bonum of everything. On one hand, it is true, there has to be physical redemption as the foundation for spiritual redemption. It's just impossible to conceive of any spiritual redemption without a modicum of physical redemption. But on the other hand, there is the danger of becoming fascinated by the erroneous, attractive idea. It's a very attractive idea. Physical redemption, that's the summa bonum. So because of that, the Rambam says, true, בחימאסרו ומדיא שעבדים אינו תאר מצרים בחלורו שגמלנו ומיסאים בניסינו בנפלויש שנאסה לנו ובחירוסינו והוא שידריש מהרם ילידוביה שאימא כל הפרשה. If he discusses and he gives vent to the drash, not a pshibishon mitkon, it's pshibishon mitkon, that important here, but that get the drash of Aram Yudhobi, umtales pshat, that, and what's the idea, Aram Yudhobi, what? Lavan wanted to destroy all the Jews. It's not so. It's not true. Lavan liked Yaakov. But he wanted Yaakov to become assimilated. Yeah, Lavan wanted Yaakov to forget about spiritual redemption. Only physical redemption. And he suggested, as I said yesterday, he was the initiator of the whole idea of a ecumenic council. Lavan was the initiator. Not the modern rabbis, and not the pope, and not the cardinals. Lavan! It's really not right of Lavan when we mention other names. We mention a pope, a cardinal, a very modern rabbi. To mention it, you have to say, Dabar B'Shem Emre. He deserves the credit. He was the initiator of this idea. Eida galase, veida matzeibo, Imoni lieber ilecha sagalaze, vimatoli saber ilai sagalaze, vesanatsivaze, islavo, sachelibo. Aleke abom velehinoche yish bidunei. There has to be a multifaceted society with many denominations. There has to be a synagogue council, orthodox, one branch, fine. But there has to be conservative, reconstructionist, reform. And there has to be a ecumenical council together with the Catholics and the Protestants. There has to be unity. Like a form, fine. But there has to be a lay noche also. Yishvitu v'neinu. Alekei Abiyem. And Yaakov, you didn't fight him. You want peace? Fine. You believe in the ecumenical council? Fine, wonderful. But that's vis-a-vis yourself. Why don't you make an ecumenical council between the Catholics and the Protestants? And if you want to unite the Muslims and the Buddhists, also fine. I have no objection. But I'm not going to be part of it. By Yeshua Yaakov be part of this. As Omu says, Kechol ha'amim yilchu b'shem elekeinu, v'anachnu b'shem ha'dishem elekeinu. We believe in religious freedom of all denominations. As a matter of fact, most Shemim say, and that's the Psak of the Ramo, and the overwhelming majority of all the Poskim, there is a Nigel Yehuda, but the Nigel is a difficult Nigel Yehuda. The Bneiach Lihuza Allah Shintuf. So the Bneiach is not even Muzer on this kind of Abrizore that Christianity represents. It's Abrizore vis-a-vis Jews. As the Goyen says, because Gabi Yisrael, so there is a parasha of Zaviach, Lelihim Yechrom, Bilti Leishem Levadei. So, Abrizor al Derech Hashituf, adulterated monotheism, is also Abrizor. And it's even worse than real paganism, vis-a-vis Yisrael. But vis-a-vis Neneach, the Neneach in Yisrael Hashituf. The Rav Amiri says that the Neitzrim, if they observe the other mitzvahs of Zayin Zayin, I mean all the fundamental duties towards humanity, so they have a navigation. So they believe in the ecumenical council, fine, but not together with us. We don't believe in the ecumenical council, ecumenism. You want to swear in the name of Alekei Avrom and Alekei Nochea, who has objections? But Yaakov is not going to swear in the name of Alekei Avraham and Alekei Nochem. And that has been the policy of the Yisrael throughout the generations. Whoever heard one of the great Yisrael attacking Christianity? Who? No one. Even when Christian priests agitated the fanatical masses towards pogroms, so the Jewish Israel never spoke disparagingly against the Christian religion. Only against the anti-Semitism of certain Christian ministers, not against the Christian religion. Do you find anything in Chazal against Yeshu? Not a word. There are certain, Yeshu is mentioned in Chazal, and the censorship took it out. But that's a Yeshu who lived at the time of Yeshua ben Prachya, that was 150 years before the founder of the Christian religion. And the Rav Amir in the Hagdomet Pirkei Avos, he mentions that. I mean, the whole story that the Sanhedrin executed Yeshua, I mean, it's not true. It's Mizuyef Mitech. Because at the time when he was executed, if he was executed, there were no dinim nefashos. time of the Shuvah Prachya, 150 years before, who was an Isis Matiach, and he was executed. And that's the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Erev Pesach, he was executed Erev Pesach. So Mimele, in order to fabricate him, to malign the Persian, it was a nice story. It was a very nice Avilas Dam. A very nice Avilas Dam against the Jews. But the Chachamim don't mention Yeshu. How is it the Chachamim don't mention Yeshu? How is it? But they were afraid they won't afraid of anything. The answer is because that's our approach. We don't discuss the religious beliefs of the other nations. We only want that they shouldn't try to impose their faith upon us. That's all. Nothing else. They want ecumenism. Fine, wonderful. Ecumenism between Catholics and Protestants and Arians, Muslims, Buddhists, whatever, but not Jews. I'm the God of Yishke. Vayishova Yaakov Yifachadol Yitzchok. Yaakov didn't say, oh, I can't make an alliance with you because you speak of Elkei Avrom Elhei Nochia. You speak of Elkei Avrom Elhei Nochia. Fine. You wouldn't care whether you just mention Elhei Nochia without mentioning Elkei Avrom. Oh, we don't care that you mention Elkei Avrom also. That's your business. But we, Amish Babi Pachadol Yitzchak, no Eucharist. And this is what Lavan tried to eradicate from Yaakov. This aspiration of Vayishova Yaakov Vipachadol Yitzchak, that was the most important thing he tried to eradicate. This dedication to the Elkei Yisrael, no Eucharism. That is Bikishlak Yasaka. Even if you say Jews have to have the same rights as non-Jews, but if you want to impose the ecumenistic concept upon the Jews, so it's Bikishlak Yasaka. That's undermining the foundation of the spiritual heritage of the Jewish group. That's why. So then, and we don't take notice of this basic notion, the drash of Aramidov, not the Pshutish Amidov. The Pshutish Amidov, of course, it's important, but doesn't have any special significance. The drash, the exegetical meaning of Aramidov, is the basic concept. And this is the core of the foundation of the Torah. Rami Bilovi, in spite of all his devotion and all his love, told Yaakov, and he loved Yaakov. But he wanted Yaakov to become assimilated. He wanted Yaakov to form a ecumenistic faith between a Yizug, a merger, between the faith of Elkei Avrom and the faith of Elhei Nochel. That's Aram Eilov, Bikish Lak Rasak. And if he doesn't emphasize that the Rash of Aram Eilov, he is not Mikai, the mitzvah of the Galtul Rikho. Because then you emphasize the physical redemption aspect over and above the spiritual redemption. Truly possible, like Shmuel, that even though the general rule is Dulchasik Rav Bilsure, and here we pass like Shmuel, he passed by Shmuel. Either because Rav is not even Chelik, or even if he's Chelik, he's still passed by Shmuel. That he has to discuss the physical redemption aspect first. Why? Because while spiritual redemption is the more important one, but in point of time, the physical redemption has to precede the spiritual redemption. We cannot be an Amnon Lechaskian in the Kodesh if we are subjected to all kinds of zealous and persecutions and humiliations. It's impossible. We need not hear all the Malachi Ashores. But we should not fall prey to this pitfall notion of assuming that physical redemption That's the main thing and the only thing. So that's why the Rambam says, "Who sheyidreish me'arami lidodi ashiyid me'kol ha'parshe v'chol ha'meisi fumarir bidrash parshe zu." Hare ze mishubach. That's the reason as to why I elaborate so much, because I want to be mishubach. The Rambam says that. So now, in light of this drash of Arami Vidodi, we can understand many things. Connected our world one in Divrotei. Baruch Hamokim, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shonsutera, and Yisroel, Baruch Hu, Kinege Habo, Boni, Vatero. Echot Chochom, Echot Rosho, Echot Tom, Echot Tindi, Echot Shitora. Now, Chochom, Moeil, Moeil, Echot Manchel, and Yisroel, 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 Echot Manchel, Lochem, Lochem, Veloloi, Uti, Sheitzi, Esatz, Min, Aklau, Kofa, Bika, Tafata, Haki, Yishino, Benoloi, Babuzelos, and Yishem, Yi, Bitzis, and Yisroel, Leave it alone, you know, you're shamed by your mother. I mean, at first blush, the Balaam is not polite at all. The way he talks almost like he's a carpet. So, Lachem Beloloi, who fish hates his atzmi in a cloud, kofa b'ika b'fatra akeishino, that obviously, it's not to be understood literally. Others don't know how to speak. If he knocks out his teeth, he'll be arrested. And what will he be, what will he accomplish? And you see, the Balabodha doesn't mean has to show him. In a little sense, Hakei Yeshinov knock out to see. Hakei Yeshinov Emele, in other words, answer him in a blunt manner, without flattery. Sometimes, I watch the discussion. Reform Rabbi, the Reconstructionist Rabbi, the Conservative Rabbi, and the modern Orthodox Rabbi. What kind of a dialogue is it? I mean, at least the Reform Rabbi. So he says, he gives vent to his ideas. Right, wrong, given, the modern Orthodox Rabbi participates, only indulges in flattering the Reform Rabbi. That's all he does. There's no dialogue. All he says, and keeps on repeating that it's wonderful to have a dialogue with the Reform Rabbi. It's wonderful, the most wonderful thing. You see, that had been the summa bonum of all the miles davis, all the bounties that have been showered upon the cloudy soil. The summa bonum is the opportunities to participate in the dialogue with the Reform Rabbi and TV, especially Channel 7. There's the summa bonum. So, but yeah, we also have a dialogue. Roshem Moel, as you see, can you get our ball bonus in the paper? We have a dialogue with everybody. We have a dialogue with the Chochom, we have a dialogue with the Rosho, we have a dialogue with the Tam, and Shimon the Elush. But when we have a dialogue with the Rosho, we have to try to elevate the Rosho. We don't consider the other Jew, the Reformed Jew, as the Rosho, 100% Rosho, which ourselves as the 100% Tzaddikim and the 100% Chachamim, Chas v'Sholem. Chas v'Sholem. Maybe there are some Jews, now many Jews, who think so, who think that they are, they are above criticism. But only the Reformed Jews, conservative Jews, have to be criticized. I'm not one of those. And when I criticize myself. I mean, this is the truth, I'm not joking. Because Baruch HaMokim Baruch Hu Baruch Shemasamki Olam Yisrael Baruch Hu Kineget HaBor Bon Libro Teiro Echot Chochom Echot Rosho Echot Tam Echot Yisrael. So does that mean that in every Jewish home, so let's say there's another and then there are four things. The way She has not got it seen again. The Chacham with the beard and tails and the Rosh are holding the gun. So the Seder table, you have the Chacham sitting next to the father, and then the Rosh, he sits next to the mother. With the gun in his hand. You could get that impression when you look at the picture in the Haggadah. It's not like that. נגד הרבה דונים דברתי או איך התוכן ואיך התושר ואיך התום גר שגיע לי ש... אם אבל צינת וג'ון שום זה הרבה דונים Everyone because there is no 100% חוכן 100% חושר חס ושולה 100% תום 100% שני ביאליש One is called the חוכן because the approach of the חוכן is the predominant thing in his thinking technique. And one is called Rosho, because the approach of the Rosho, the cynical approach of the Rosho, regarding everything of the Torah in a disparaging manner, is the predominant factor in his thinking process. And one is called Tom, because he has a great degree of the time, and one is called King of the Elisha, so, because there is a great deal of the King of the Elisha, but every Chacham, in Sadibor, as Ashiyat HaKidu Yechto, so every Chacham has a spark of rebellion, of resentment, of bitterness, can find many Chacham in Tzadiki, in Dali Kiminitzes, but they had, if they were to be self-analyzing their own psyche, they would come to the inescapable conclusion that there is a lot of resentment in their mind. There's a lot of resentment in their mind. You think, I mean, that all the Kanoim who throw stones at those who drive the car on Shabbos in Yerushalayim, that everything is motivated by Hashem Shemayim, Chas V'Shalom. Chas V'Shalom. My uncle, the Briska Rovi, was a big Kanoi, he didn't throw stones. The Chazlish was a big Kanoi, he didn't throw stones. Who throw stones? Fanatics. Young fanatics. Who don't know what the Torah is, and what the Torah represents. But they want to rationalize in order to satisfy their inclination towards hatred. So, we do it Rishim Shamayim. It's not Rishim Shamayim. No one will throw a stone at the Nechal Shabbos Rishim Shamayim. They just deceive themselves. So, Yachachonim, but there is a substantial portion of the Roshim in there that you don't realize. They deceive themselves. And the Rosho has, just as we say, in Sadik Boras, she has a table reactor, so in the same way, and even more effectively, in Rosho, certainly among Klal Yisrael, so the Peshe Yisrael Mlei Mitzvahs Kerimet, it's the Chazal say it, and the Goyim says, but why is Rimei mentioned as the symbol of the Jewish people? So the Goyim made an experiment. He got a number of pomegranates from the Austrian in those days, and from Italy, from Greece, all the countries where the remaining were. And he counted the number of garin, of kernels. Garin has so many kernels, seeds. So he found, of course, some remaining at more, some remaining at less, but on the whole, it really turned out to have tayakons, tayak seeds. So that's the concept, that's the pshat. Peshi Yisroel Leimit is the ring. Because even the Peshi Yisroel, and they don't know about it, they think that they are dedicated to the Marxist idea, this idea, that idea, but unconsciously, there is the Tayag Mitzvahs that motivates them. They will not recognize it. Why did the Rav Kook say in the Broche? Why was he Mikari the Pesha Yisrael? From this Tadrut, the Rav Kook never was Mikari the Reform Rabbis, never flattered the Reform Rabbi, but he was Mikari the Pesha Yisrael, the atheist. Why did the modern rabbis, why are they Mikari so much? Dafke, the modern successful Reform Rabbis who have billionaires in their temples. Why aren't they encouraging the atheists, the atheistic Jews, who unfortunately become involved in drugs? Why aren't they encouraging them? Now I'll tell you a story. It happened only 2 weeks ago. In Chicago, there was a bill introduced of gay rights bill. Catholics, so the Catholic ministers urged all the aldermen in Chicago to vote against the gay rights bill. They were attacked. It's inconsistent with the American principle of separation of church and state. It's inconsistent, it's unconstitutional, all kinds of criticism. Now, the Jewish rabbis, there is a lot of rabbis consisting Orthodox, Reform, Conservative, Reconstructionist, all kinds of rabbis. They were afraid to adopt a resolution against the gay rights bill. They were afraid. It's not democratic. It's not democratic. So, for our shame and disgrace, all the Catholic aldermen in the city council in Chicago so voted against the gay rights bill without exception. And for our shame and disgrace, except for one, so all the Jewish aldermen voted in favor of the gay rights bill. There is one alderman who in a certain sense is a Christian. How is he a Christian? He wasn't a Talmud of Reb Chaim and not of Radovo, but he's a Christian because his father was born and raised in Brisk, and Reb Chaim raised money to enable his father's father to go to America in 1904. So he's a Christian. I mean, the alderman himself was born in Chicago, but his father was born in Eisenhower. And he remembers the Kochest that Reb Chaim gave him. He has many sentiments, the father. The father is, he's a real Shema Shabbos, but he's a Shulit, the father. So he has, his son is an alderman. So, I wanted to lobby him, but I felt that if I lobby him directly, it will not work, because I'm a controversial figure. So I decided to do it how the shliach. One of the comedians in Chicago, the Mishmer, his name is Rabbi Yazovsky. He's the... In Chicago, there is a certain organization, the ARC. It's a charitable organization, and it gives medical aid to everybody. A very important organization, the ARC. And he's in charge of it, the executive secretary. I don't know what kind of a title he is. And he's a very energetic, dynamic person. So I told him to call up that alderman, not to mention my name, and to lobby. The rabbi, all the rabbis didn't lobby. The most that they could do is to keep quiet. And they deserve credit for that, that they kept quiet. But all the Catholic priests, spoke against the gay rights bill. But how can you expect modern rabbis? to emulate the example of Kim Sikonim Shebehem Loyasus, to emulate the example of the Catholic ministers in things that are mikolkul, but not in Sikonim Shebehem, that not, because it's not a popular thing. So he exerted pressure upon that alderman, and he was the only Jewish alderman who ultimately was afraid to vote. He was afraid because he was afraid that he will not be re-elected. So, but he did vote. He was the only Jewish alderman who voted in the Chicago City Council against the gay rights bill. So then he started a telephone call from Jews, wealthy Jews, reform community, really protesting why he had the audacity to vote against the gay rights bill. So he repeated himself. He was afraid that he will not be re-elected. And there's another person who was running against him, and that was the thing on the platform. He's for equal rights for the gay people. That's a big minor. He's a liberal. So then he said, I was lobbied. So some of the millionaire reform Jews asked him, who lobbied you? So he said, Rabbi Soloveitchik. Even though I never made cold enough, but he knew I knew. So then this Rabbi Lazovsky got a few letters from certain prominent people, even lay people, in the reform community. So threatening that because of that, so the reform community will not give a penny for the Yeshiva's Brisk or for the Ark. Yeshiva's Brisk community won't give a penny anyway. So, and he showed me the letters. And I was very curious to know who that, certainly she's prominent in the reform temple in one of the suburbs of Chicago. So I told Abel Azarsky to make an investigation, find out who she is, why is she so adamant, as if the older man had committed murder. He voted against the gay rights bill. He made an investigation, he found out that her son is homosexual. So that's freedom. That's freedom. Now, so we have to have a dialogue with everybody. If negative war bonim, we will tell you echot chochom, echot rosho, echot tom, echot chen, we are wishing. So it's not that they are four separate sons, one is 100% chochom. It's not because of black and white. The chochom is called chochom because Rubeki Kule. And the Roshe is called Roshe also because of Rubik Kule. Where the Chochom might have a substantial portion of the Roshe. And the Roshe might sometimes have a substantial portion of the Chochom and of the Tzadik. And sometimes you can find a situation where the so-called Chochom is motivated by riches and the so-called Roshe is motivated by righteous indignation. Unfortunately, today sometimes we see it. Sometimes we see it. Sometimes we see a very funny situation that the Rosho keeps on talking against apartheid all the time, and the Tzaddik keeps on vindicating apartheid. We find such a situation also. So when Rosho Moene, Mo'aveda Aziz Lochem, So, in other words, So what kind of a title does the Rosh say? Ma'avidas Yislachem. So let's look up in the Torah. What the Torah says is an answer to the title of Ma'avidas Yislachem. So who is it? There's the Rashi. Ba'amartim zevach posach ul adishem asher posach al potek b'nisoy b'yitzrayim inokkei es b'yitzrayim l'tim yitzba v'yitzba v'yitzachav. So how is it that the balagode, that the mechilte, does not conform to the answer that the Torah gives? Roshem o'im ha'ma'avid az Yislachem. So the Balagode should say, Da'afato ha'me'olei, Zebach Pesach u'la Dishem, Asha posach ha'lbote gul Yisroel v'Mitzrayim, Dinok peyes Mitzrayim v'din u'yitzir. So how is it? Libu l'loi, Lachem l'loi, U'ti she'itzes atzim na'klal kovdika, Da'afato ha'kirshin ha'me'olei, Da'avuzeh osa Adishem mi b'tzeisim Mitzrayim. So, the Balagode mentions the tshuva that is given to the Sheni Yiddish. Ba'avuzeh osa Adishem mi v'tzim eschanon. No, Nishanon is the child of the Hoch. So, that's it. At the end of the boy. So. Regardless of the Vinchosh, may you give me Poshchet. So, Lidl Loi is explanatory of the Posik Ches, Abuzeos Hashem Li. But that's the Shemi de Lish La Psachle, Shinema Vigalto Dinuk Balimali Leimer, Abuzeos Hashem Li. So, how is it that the Balagode, I mean, he misplaced, I mean, so it appears, the answer that has to be, that the Torah gives to the Roshe, and then the answer that the Torah gives to Shimon the Elisha and applied it to the Roshe. Why doesn't the Balagode quote correctly the answer that the Torah mentions as a response to the Roshe? What is it? Apparently, there is a connection between the Shimon the Elisha and the Rosh, because it's a mistake to assume the Shemi of the Elisha has referenced to the other child, you know, the Sidurim had the picture of Shemi of the Elisha, I mean, he looks retarded, I mean, it's not so. Shemi of the Elisha might have an IQ of 180 or even 200, he might have a great mind, might be very brilliant Shemi of the Elisha, but and spiritual musician in the Elisha. Yet so many Jews today who are so brilliant, professors in universities, doctors, justices in courts, diplomats, but on a spiritual level, that's in the Elisha. So, the Shemi of the Elisha and the Roshe, they raise the same question. We both say, Ma'abi is Yislach. This question is raised by the Rosh. But the Malvin says that. I'm not saying it. the Malbim says that the Malbim also had to cope with the early Reform rabbis. And the early Reform rabbis were very educated and very knowledgeable in Torah too. Gaia was not a poet. So the Rambam, so Malbim says that the Shaykh of the Alishor, he is very smart. But spiritually, the why does the Malbim say? He says it quickly. Why does the Malbim say that someone who is a teaching is born, but he follows the line of the reformer? He follows up Geiger's ideology. Geiger was no Amoris Geiger. He was not a teaching is born Geiger. So why? Because he's in the primary of the Shemi Yedirish. Now take the child. Before the child is able to talk, the child in the crib. The child in the crib also has intelligence. And the child in the crib thinks. Some children in the crib are geniuses. But when they are young, they can distinguish between one and the other. The child, according to the child's psychology, the child is great before he talks, before he's able even to say, Mama, Daddy. So then, in his concept, there is a hatchmatch. He knows the mother, and he knows the maid who gives him a bottle, is very great for it, and he knows of the toy, but there is a hatchmatch of heaven. Hatchpatch, mother, daddy, maid, toy, and even sometimes there's some beautiful instruments in the crib, you know, that keep on playing all kinds of records, and he enjoys it. So there's a hatchpatch, he creates everything. Everything. So that's the spiritual change in religion. The spiritual change in religion might be a professor in Harvard University. Very smart, he knows everything, but spiritually he should be a Christian. The Hatchback, he knows. To be a Christian heritage, it's a difficult expression to be a Christian heritage. Judaism, Christianity, Buddhism, Mohammedanism, the Hatchback, Tanakh, Eucharist, such a wonderful word, Eucharist. He's like the child in the crib who combines everybody with everybody and everything with everything. Mama, daddy, can't say mama, daddy, but very good. Mama, daddy, toy, musical instrument, battle, everything, China. He loves China. He is a discover, get rabbi. Rabbi Tenenbaum, Rabbi Einstein, all the others, he is a kind person. He's not a kind person, so then they say, Einstein is a fundamentalist, he belongs to the same category as Ayatollah Khomeini. But Rabbi Tenenbaum is a liberal. He believes in eucharism. But if he's a nice person, then he's like a shame to be a but the same time as the Malbim says, the same time as that the Roshe says, that the Reform Rabbi says, so the Shem Yidilisha says. But to the Shem Yidilisha, he's a nice person. Doesn't know any better. You can't expect of him. He's very smart. He's a professor in Harvard Law School. But he's not at all. But someone who was in Yeshiva Bacher, who studied in Yeshivas for years, and then he tries to undermine the whole Torah, he doesn't have that excuse. So to him, we have to talk one thing, not Pastor Shalom, not how to speak, Pastor Shalom, but Akira Shimon, in a figurative sense, and we have to tell him, Bavozeo so Adishem li b'tzeisim mitzroyim. Now the question was, but that's not the answer to the Russian. but it is that when we analyze the illegal lawyer and we analyze the answer given to the Roshe, Zebach Pesach Ula Hashem, Asher Posach, our body will be followed in Mitzrayim, in not pay as Mitzrayim, the beginning of Yitzhak, so it's the same answer. We'll see, it's the same answer. Now, you see, we say, Hakliya Shino. So it appears that we are very militant, we are very harsh to the Rosh. We're not so harsh at all. You see, Rashi says, Vayiki Torom Vayisaka. Our Psiras Agulo, Ubias Oretz, Upsiras Abonim Shegiola. So in other words, the Israelites expressed gratitude to the Rebbeinu Shalom for the fact that they will have children. In other words, so they were promised that when they take possession of the promised land, they'll have children. What kind of a simple is it? What kind of children? The Shoyim, of course, it's a simple. Something to give gratitude for? The answer is, as a Rav Kook, and the Bar Mitzvah, Hakim Kook, Zechon Yivrach. He was Mikari, or the Chalutzi, or atheist. But he realized they are not at home with his Chalutzi. And he could be Mikari then. So, we have to give gratitude to the Rebbeinu Shalom that these atheists are interested in Eretz Yisrael, in the upbuilding of Eretz Yisrael. And poor Eretz Yisrael repelled, they will say Meishem in the Torah sense. The point which Arop once said, he is sure that Nein Harod, in those days Nein Harod was the symbol of extreme secularism, Nein Harod. So they will daven three times a year. Someday, he said, Tony Arop said that. So Arop Kook, similarly, was the caliber. That's in conformity to what Chazal say, Vayikidom Vayishtachavu, so the day we do it, the Rebbeinu Shalom for Tzirat Abonim. What is the Tzirat Abonim? The Tzirat Abonim consists in the fact that the Roshe, who defies the Torah, who says, Ma'avidah Aziz Lachem, is dedicated to Eretz Yisrael. And suppose the Roshe, who defies the Torah, would be dedicated to Soviet Russia, then it would be better. So we have to be happy that we have a Rishoyim who are atheists, at the same time, they are dedicated to the upbuilding of Eretz Yisrael. That was the Shita of our atheists. So that's in respect to the atheists. We don't know any better who did see a light of the Torah. But vis-a-vis a rabbi who only tries to cater to the billionaires, doesn't speak up for the one who is unfortunate. We have to flatter them. We have to flatter them. Now, you all know of the incident that happened with Jonathan Pollard. Terrible thing, Jonathan Pollard. Terrible thing. He cheated. And cheating is a terrible thing. And when a yeshiva boy cheats in an examination, it's also a terrible thing. It's a disgrace. Cheating is a terrible thing. But did they spy in the same manner as the average spy spies? Let's say somebody spies for Soviet Russia. So his motive is to get all the important information, confidential information in the United States in order that Soviet Russia should be able to use it against the United States. Was that the goal of Jonathan Pollard? He was a misguided youngster. Whose fault was it? His superior officer, Salah, that was named Salah. He had two superior officers, one Salah and one I forgot him. It is his fault, and his motive was to help Israel. his goal was not to hurt the United States. His goal was to help Israel to find out certain information about the nuclear reactor in Iraq. And some say that the information that Jonathan Pollard divulged to Salah so was used in the destruction of the nuclear reactor in Iraq. Whether it is so or not, I don't know. But assuming that it is so, it was necessary. He, Jonathan Pollard, had asked the Shire of any of I don't care who, whether he consulted the Rav Roshi, Rav Shapiro, or Rav Eliyahu, the Slavic Rav Roshi, or let's say the head, the Bishop Weiss, the head, the Rav Bezdin of the Eid HaRedis, I don't care whom he would have consulted. So the psak by every rov, whether it's Mizrahi or Abdi or Mitrikat or whatever, would have been, don't do it against the United States. Don't do it against the United States. It's not right and it's stupid. It's stupid. Assuming that because of the urgency of the situation, it was indispensable. So how can Mr. Salah assume that the United States government cannot find out why? I mean, they are stupid. He's so smart. They are smart, Mr. Salah. Gamma Doaho, Melaho the Kaul, Uvi Hadri Mishkovho of the Kaulosh. So when Hordes famed as someone who is sensitive to the wishes of Hordes and impersonated somebody else, and when he asked Bodo Dembute to curse Hordes, so Bodo Dembute refused to curse Hordes. Why? Because he said, at first he says, the mercy Dam Khalisoya, so Hordes said that he's not a mercy. He's an imposter, Hordes. So, and Bodo Dembute didn't know that it was Hordes was talking. Bodo Dembute thought it was a certain Kanoye, a very full Kanoye who was urging him to curse Hordes. Still refused. He said, don't do something that you wouldn't do it if you knew you would be caught. That's the first lesson in ethical behavior and in practical wisdom. Not to undertake to do something that he wouldn't do if he knew that he would be caught. Because it's the most stupid thing to assume, I'll never be caught. I'm smarter than him. I'm smarter than the FBI in the United States and the CIA. I will never catch me. I'm smarter. That's the most stupid notion that one can entertain. And that's also the Chadrin Mishkab Chol, the Kaul Oshir. What do you mean from Mishkab Chol Oshir? Does it mean an Oshir who does not deserve to be cursed? Why the Chadrin Mishkab Chol? So it's a terrible thing to curse. It means it is an Oshir, a tyrant, like Hordes, a murderer. But if you wouldn't curse him openly, you're not allowed to curse him the Chadrin Mishkab Chol. What one is not ready to do openly, he should not do furtively. That's the first lesson that Medina's Israel officials and diplomats should learn. And because they don't consult Das Torah, that's why this tragedy occurred with Jonathan Pollard. It's the fault primarily of Mr. Salah, and it's also the fault in Khilas Kvedi of Paris. He was the prime minister. It's true. He didn't know. Why didn't he know? Why didn't he know? He should have known. Then, when he was caught, so stupidity. So they promoted him. And that provoked and precipitated life imprisonment for Jonathan Pollard. So they forced him to resign.